go. Worked.
Okay.
Much better.
Unbelievable. Okay.
All right, we're back.
We're back.
We did it.
Round two.
Welcome to Burning Hammer Wrestling.
Yeah.
It's our second episode. We got to see Backlash. Took place in France.
Lyon or whatever. Yeah.
And that was, it would have been last Sunday.
Yeah. Yep.
Saturday.
Saturday
afternoon.
I'm so used to Sundays because that's what it was the whole time we were growing up.
It always has been.
Yeah. Yep.
It was great. I mean, dude, there was like, I don't know that I've seen a crowd ever as good as this. It's very hard for me to think of a time where like the crowd stands out and is like a main character.
It's one of the best crowds I've ever seen in my entire life. Yeah. In wrestling, it's one of the best crowds I've ever seen.
They were like literally a character in the show.
Yeah.
And that's what like, I wish like United States crowds would
It's never
going to
happen. It's never going to happen.
Well, it shows you like the gratitude that like these countries have too when you go overseas and you have these big shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like Backlash is a big show.
Big show. Yep.
So.
Well, it's part of like, it was like last year or whatever when they started doing where Triple H was coming out and going, the way we're going to structure things is the four big ones are going to be in the States or whatever, right? Or usually they're in the States. And then all the other months where there's premium live events, you know, pay-per-views, whatever, they're going to travel around the world now. And we saw that with, like, Clash at the Castle was insane. And wasn't Backlash last year? Was that the one that was in Puerto Rico?
I don't know if they did do that one last year.
Okay. Because last year they did the show in Puerto Rico with Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest. Yes. And that was one of the craziest crowds I've ever seen as well. Absolutely incredible crowd.
That does sound right.
I saw something online. People were saying that one of the reasons they think that the international crowds are so crazy, it's because they don't get it ever. Yeah. But in the States, we get it twice a week with SmackDown and Raw. Yeah.
And you probably, if you're like in a big, like a major city, you probably get it twice a year.
Yeah,
considering your schedule, you might. Yep. You at least get it once.
Especially depending on who the they have Punk, right? So you know they're in Chicago a couple times a year, minimum.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's like, there's certain places they're just gonna hit all the time.
Man,
you know?
It was like, and like they're chanting shit in French, so it's like it kind of adds to the like the aura of it too.
It did. Yeah,
it felt
so
like
special.
A fucking football game.
Yeah,
like a soccer game. Yep. Straight up, it was crazy.
Felt like a huge soccer game. One of the coolest shots I've ever seen in my entire life following wrestling happened in that show. And it was the shot of the crowd chanting in French, something along the lines of like, he is phenomenal, la, 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 or whatever, right? But they're going so fucking crazy. And it's when Samantha's doing the like pre-match announcing, right? Like they've already had their entrances, they're in the ring, there's no music, she's just doing the call, right? And they get to AJ and the crowd starts doing that and everybody's jumping, and they cut to the shot of him just standing super cool and collected. You know, inside he's like, this is fucking crazy. But he's just standing there hard, not smiling or anything, just chewing gum, looking at the crowd. And the camera's fucking bouncing so hard and hard cam because everybody in the arena is jumping up.
They're just registering on the fucking Richter scale.
In the post event press conference thing, Trips was saying that at Gorilla, they were getting warnings or something about decibel rate, like decibel meter, getting sketchy and like dangerous. So loud, it was getting sketchy for like hearing loss.
A lot of people in there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think one of the, like, there was a couple of moments in that where, like, when Jey Uso came out and had, like, and everybody had their fucking camera, like their flashlights on and shit.
That's another wicked cool shot of from behind a dude that was at like the entrance ramp filming up at him.
Yep.
As the whole crowd is blacked out but illuminated by flash. Yeah.
There's
so cool.
A shot of him on the turnbuckle, and it's like just a perfect shot, like angled upward towards
That's
the
what
turnbuckle.
I'm talking about. Yeah.
So godly.
So good. Those are the kind of pictures that like almost mean more. Like when he's retired and he's home and he's just chilling for the rest of his life, those That's are the framed. Moments he's never going to forget. That's framed on a stand somewhere. It's not a, it's not his fifth tag team title or whatever. It's that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that stuff.
Yep. And it's like, it's just, that's part of, it's a huge part of wrestling is the aura.
Yeah.
And the spectacle. And that is what the crowd can bring to that. That dimension.
The crowd makes or breaks it.
Yeah.
When they go to places with shit crowds, they break it.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. When the crowds are just chanting stupid shit, you know, and trying to co-opt the show and take it over and stuff. It's so annoying.
Yep. And it goes back to, I want to go back to WrestleMania for a second because when they do open air stadiums,
it's horrible.
It sucks the life out of that.
I hate it. I wish they would stop. I get, like, I understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they're doing Mania. Yes. So they're like, it's got to be two nights and it's got to fit 80 both nights.
Uh-huh.
So they're like, what buildings can do it?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
However, the craziest atmospheres of WrestleManias I've ever seen were all indoors.
Indoors, yeah.
Even big places, but always indoors.
And you can get big indoor stadiums. There's a lot of big indoor stadiums. But they're trying to break records, so like they want to fit people in.
But eventually, they got to stop worrying about trying to break a record and worry about having the best show of all time.
But like, why not like Cowboy Stadium or like Allegiant Stadium or I don't know. Like, there's big indoor stadiums. What's the one? So, do the Raiders, their new stadium, I think that's Allegiant Stadium. It has to have a huge capacity because it's new.
It's a new football stadium.
And it's
that's
indoor.
Yeah, that's, you just have to.
You know, it's like.
Didn't they just announce that 41's going to be in Vegas? Pretty sure they did, right?
So, maybe that's where it is.
Is LA where the Raiders are now?
Yes.
Maybe it's Elite, dude.
Las Vegas.
Maybe it is. Or yeah, I said LA, but I meant Las Vegas. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen enough info on that.
That
I just heard
seems
they, like
came
it's
out probably.
Like, yup.
There's. I don't see where else they would do it.
Because they've got to know. The thing with Triple H and this new regime is that when stuff, they're constantly shifting.
Yeah.
They're not just heels dug in going, I'm right, all fans are wrong, I'll show them how it used to be. They're going, oh, we now learn from that experience. Let's try this out, you know?
Yeah. And if you're going to be in Vegas, where else are you going to do it?
I mean, the dome? Not, the dome?
There's no
other. What do they call that thing? It's the dome, isn't it? What do they call it?
Oh, the sphere or
the
something?
The sphere. Whatever. Who cares? The sphere. That would be so lame.
Object here. Blank.
They're like, this is the Mountain Dew pitch black sphere match.
Yeah.
No, please, none of that. WrestleMania.
How many does that
one
thing seat?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
I wonder what the capacity is in there.
One of my coworkers went and saw U2 there, and he said it was like one of the most jaw-dropping, mind-blowing things he's ever seen. Like, one, his favorite band is U2, so like, of course, he's into the music and stuff like that, and that's cool. But he was saying like, not even like cool music. Just the
it's
what
everywhere.
You're sitting and looking at is you're like, what the like, you're just so
it's like IMAX for a live show in a way.
Yep. I would love to see a WWE event there. That'd be so cool.
That would be crazy. Even what would you do though?
You would do like a SmackDown or what you do is you do WrestleMania in whatever the big Vegas football stadium is, right? Preferably indoor if it is. I don't know enough about the stadiums to know, and I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
But you just do that. And then the Friday night before, that last go-home SmackDown, you do it at the Sphere. And you make it wicked crazy. Because it's not going to seat as many, you know what I mean? But it's got to be, you know, several thousand.
It'd be so cool, though.
The problem is right now is the hottest time ever in WWE numerically. Like, statistically speaking, not to shit on the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
That's the era everybody always remembers. But just numbers wise, like it's never had the reach it does, and people will fly from all over the world to come in and stuff, which they did back in the day too.
Sure.
But it's like when every single Raw and SmackDown so far this year has done over 12,000 or whatever, and they're just week after week going, this is the new record. Now, oh, nope, now this just shattered that one. Like, every week is a record attendance somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's tough to go, let's pull back and do a dome that sits 3,000.
Yeah.
We can sell 12, though.
That's, yeah, exactly. That's
and will sell 12.
Yeah. They're just trying to snap records in half.
And what's crazy is they will sell 12,000 tickets to that Go Home SmackDown and then sell 80 two nights in a row to WrestleMania 2 days
yep.
later.
Yep.
They sure will. No question.
Yeah, it's like, oh. I would like to. So, like, you do something in there, but, like, what do you do with the screen? Is it going to be based on? So, for entrances, you could do some really
cool
shit. See,
and that's the thing, is they would want to know that, well, first off, it's booked a year in advance, or they're not getting it. Good luck getting it.
Right.
Although, the company is, like, TKO now, and Dana White is an OG of Vegas. As far as like entertainment in Vegas right now because of the UFC,
I also saw that
so maybe he could get it done.
They're gonna do NXT in the UFC Performance Center.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I like that. NXT is a so when NXT does like their big shows, they usually do like a SmackDown or Raw size venue, which I love. That's a no brainer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they tend to feel like very old school WWF pay-per-views because of that. It's like when you used to watch, like, WrestleMania 12, right? Watch WrestleMania 12. I can't remember exactly what arena it is. Maybe it was Madison Square Garden. I can't remember because I was like 7 or something.
Yeah.
But I just remember that it was like the arena looked like it was a 10,000 max. You know what I mean? It wasn't a football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And everything used to be that. Even when they were like in that era, they would do these Raws and SmackDowns. They would be in like 3 to 4,000 seater, smaller venues.
But
with
NXT, you're porting a smaller audience, a more focused audience,
yes,
into a larger arena. Yeah.
And for the pay per views, they'll sell them and have like a 10,000 seater, and it's amazing. It feels like a big deal, because NXT's normal show is just in the full sell spot, or I think it's in full sell. It used to be for sure, but it's that little arena, the NXT arena they have, which
a sound stage that they have somewhere, but I don't know what it did used to be full sale.
Maybe it's at the Performance Center now. I don't know.
Could be.
Performance Center might be at Full Sail. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no fucking idea.
But either way.
Well, it used to be. I don't think. Is it in Florida?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because that makes
sense. I
think
it's in Orlando or something.
Yeah, because it used to be Florida Championship Wrestling, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And they bought. I'm pretty sure WWE bought that territory.
Because WWE had OVW in the 2000s, and that's where like the craziest class of all time came from. Well, at the time, which was like Batista, Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, Cena, Orton, all in one class, all coming from OVW.
Yeah,
baby, that's fucking crazy, wicked crazy. But yeah, then they had FCW, and I think they turned that. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, that sounds right to me because I think Rollins was in that.
Yes. He was, and he was the first, pretty sure he was the first NXT champion.
Yes.
And he faced Pac.
That would have been like 2012-ish.
Something like that, yeah. 13. Because him and Roman and I don't know, I can't remember if Ambrose came through NXT or not. I was barely watching
NXT
Rollins at
that
point.
Even after Rollins had matches, he had a match on Raw or SmackDown, and then he had another match. He still was the champion on NXT, so he still had to go back and still work on NXT.
Yep.
So he's working like fucking
Monday,
Wednesday.
And then the Shield happened.
He debuted with the Shield.
So long ago that the Shield debuted as henchman for Punk before he left.
For CM Punk, yep.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, I always forget about that, but yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And that kind of disappeared. It really didn't materialize too much, did it?
What do you mean?
Like the whole, like they
like
wanted
them being
it to seem
for Punk.
Yeah, they wanted it to seem like it was. They wanted it to be. They were like the Justice Squad, you know.
They were an independent entity.
Right type of thing.
They were an independent, like, hired gun hitman guys.
And it just happened to always be for punk. Like, yeah. It just was like, so now everybody's like, oh, they're working.
I think they turned on him at one point, too, though.
Yeah, I can't remember how that turned out.
It was, what, 13 years ago or something? 12 years ago?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, so, no, that's gone. Too much happens.
Yeah, it would at least be a decade ago now. Jesus Christ. Yeah, minimum. That's crazy.
It's crazy to think how impactful NXT has been on WWE. Like, that's the smartest thing Triple H ever did.
Oh, yeah.
Was go, you gotta let me build this. You gotta let me build. It's for the future of the industry. You gotta let me build it. And it's crazy to think about that, because so many of those NXT guys are the top guys over in AEW as well. Swerve. Is their AEW champion? He's an NXT guy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, Moxley's part of the Shield and stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if that will ever.
You think Mox will ever come back?
If they'd ever have that comeback.
I think he will, just to go in the Hall of Fame as part of the Shield, because there's zero scenario where it's acceptable, and somewhere down the road the Shield doesn't go in the Hall of Fame. There's no scenario where that's acceptable. Yeah, so. I think that it's likely. I don't know if he'll ever come back and wrestle
maybe
again.
Maybe they just bring him back to, like, that's sign him on, like, a one-day contract.
He might come back when it's all said and done to get his flowers and go home.
I
kind of
hope that doesn't happen. I hope they do show up.
I hope they
reunite. I hope no one knows about it at all, and I hope it fucking happens.
I hope that he, and it's not a knock on AEW. I think AEW would be fine with or without him.
Also a lot going on now. You have to wait until the bloodline thing dissolves.
But here's the thing.
And all that shit.
Yeah, for sure. But it would be really cool if when Reigns came back, he came back with Ambrose and Rollins. How insane. How insane would that be? Because Roman's gone right now. We don't know how long he's gone for. He's taking a massively deserved break. He's been carrying everything for a long time.
It seems like you could do that.
But what they're going to do, I don't know. But what they will likely
do
is OG Bloodline versus the new Bloodline in a Bloodline Civil War, which will be amazing. That'll be so cool.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I would rather, which one I'd rather see.
That's a great question. Shield versus OG Bloodline? Because, I saw somebody online that was like, there's no way I accept the OG Bloodline without Sami Zayn. I'm like, they could use him, though. They could bring him back. Why the hell not? They could do that. They could tell a story of that, too, of having Reigns, when he comes back, he's a changed man. He's learned from the situation, you know? And he's like, nope, it's us versus them. Where's The Rock?
They don't have that. The thing is, like, with the way that this is going now, and when you have Roman come back, he doesn't have to explain anything.
No, he doesn't have to. Roman's going to come back. He's going to get one of the craziest pops of all time.
Yeah.
He can come back not in an angle. He can literally come back tomorrow, get one of the biggest pops of all time, walk out to the ring, stand in the ring for 10 minutes. Crowd's going to go apeshit for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah.
It's too crazy of a run. And it's one of those things where at the time he was in the middle of this always happens. Literally always happens. Guy in the middle of his run, people hate on him and they just find every excuse to book for white shit. Second he's gone, they all realize, oh, wait a minute. That's actually was one of the greatest stories ever in wrestling. And that guy was the centerpiece.
Cena was, like, the biggest, recent example of that, obviously.
Very much so.
But now look at that.
He used to, dude, right before he left, he was getting the 50-50, which is why he was, when people are, like, on the 50% hate side, and they're going, I hate Cena, I can't believe he's the top guy, why don't they give these guys other chances? You're why. Because he's coming out everywhere around the world every night and getting 50-50, just 11 out of 10 energy in one direction or the other clashing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, no shit, he's the guy. But when he left, he comes back, you're not seeing 50-50 anymore.
There was plenty of Roman fans. You know, it's like...
I was very much one of them.
So you have that... you have the mixed crowd reaction automatically.
Mm-hmm. Roman was another guy that got the mixed deal.
Well, yeah, you're cheering for a heel, first of all.
It's so funny. It's so predictable too. When I try to stay away from it because it's just it's such shit. But the comment sections and shit on WWE yeah. posts.
Well, it's so hard.
Are
to not,
so who cares?
So hard but to not read them though.
They give you a decent image of where yeah. where like the overall crowds are at. And it's funny when you see the guys who they have to hate whoever the guy is. They just yeah. have to. It doesn't yeah. matter how good. It doesn't matter what he's doing. They've just got to hate him. And you'll see dudes that are the same exact guys that a month ago are saying, Roman's washed. He's trash. He's never been good on the mic. He's never been good in the ring. You got to get him the fuck out of there. A month later, when it becomes evident that the torch is being progressively passed to Cody, same guy. Cody's trash. He's worthless. He's never been good on the mic. He's never good in the ring. Roman is the man. Yeah. It's like, all right, man. All right. Whatever. But I love it. I love it. And I'm sure the wrestlers do, too, because it's interaction. It's engagement.
There's a lot of criticism already. And so Cody yeah. Rhodes has only been champion for not like a month, basically. Yep. And fucking everybody's like, he doesn't know how to carry the title. He's not
interesting.
It's like, dude, he hasn't done anything yet. Like, we haven't.
Also,
what are we doing?
I'm glad you brought that up because I'll take this nice new merchandise item we have. This is one of the greatest t-shirts ever. It really
yeah, go to our website.
Yeah. But he's holding the title like this, right?
Yeah.
And all these dudes, they've got to be under 20 or under 25 or something, right? They can't know that they don't realize how weird it is. But they're going, he doesn't know how to hold the title. He's not doing it over the shoulder like everybody for the past 10 years or wearing it around his waist. He's holding it like Ric Flair and Harley Race. He's holding
okay,
it like
so...
all these OG Holy Grail guys used to hold the title at all times, but he doesn't know how to hold it, you know?
It's so stupid.
I love it.
Oh, my God. Well, that's, I don't know, Rick. So, like, a lot of Harley Race and, like, even Dusty Rhodes, like, the younger audience didn't see all that stuff.
No. I mean, dude, we barely did. We were the last generation that did only because they were the generation right before us.
Yes.
So we would see all the recap
stuff. We saw
stuff.
It on that. Yeah, which is the same way they see, like, The Rock in Austin.
That's right. Yep.
So it's like, a weird, like, way to look at these generations.
Dude, some of them, that's how they see Orton and Cena and Batista and stuff.
Randy Orton is, he's got to be one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, of course he is. Just,
it's got to be
course he
close
is, yeah.
top look fucking
I don't know
four.
How you debate that.
It's like, I mean, dude, because he has had such a long run.
Yeah,
he's
one of
like
the greatest
almost
runs of all time.
Always healthy. He yep. always performs. He never looks out of shape.
No, even when he was performing with an excruciating back injury that he almost ended his career on, mm-hmm. he's doing RKOs and stuff out of nowhere.
Everything he
just
does
looks
in the ring.
Absolutely flawless.
Always looks good.
He can walk from rope to rope, and you'll go, no one's ever made it look that good somehow. Why?
Yeah.
He's
just consistently performs, and he's always in the, like, major picture, too.
Yep. It's he's wherever they need him. Yeah. He does comedy with Matt Riddle, and it's incredible, and it revitalizes his career. Now, Matt's gone. That is what it is.
Yeah.
And I love Riddle, and hopefully someday he'll come back. I think if he gets his stuff together enough, which he seems to be,
there's
that's
a
whole other conversation.
That, like,
but
I could probably
we could waste 12 hours on that. But Riddle's out of the picture, and they go, we need a guy to feud with Reigns randomly. Who do we have who's hasn't faced him in a long time, and we just need a guy who's believable at the absolute pinnacle top of the industry?
Yeah.
Orton's right there. Let's bring Orton in. He's going to do it. We don't have to tell him to do shit. Just go work. And he goes, yeah, we got it. Top level. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
And he's been like that for almost 20 years.
Yeah, you can put a guy. It's so perfect because you can just take anybody who you were trying to build and go, here's like a third to last pay-per-view match.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in it now. And now you're in a match with Orton. And you're going to, if you go over him, which he probably,
he doesn't care.
Yeah.
he's not what they would call a mark for themselves.
No,
like,
he does
no.
not. He has nothing to lose.
No. What does he have to lose? He has like a top three ever title reigns. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, for, what is it? They say Flair has the record, right? And then it's like Cena right behind him. Triple H is somewhere around there. Yeah. Orton's the only other guy. Who's even in the discussion?
Like, you can tell, too. Like, he just walks out with, like, the confidence.
The second you see him, you go, he's one of the all-time greats ever.
Like, yep. And it's like, you can see, you can feel his charisma.
Yeah.
And, like...
Right back to how we started the show, aura.
Mm-hmm.
Auras are the most important thing about... Not the most, but they're one of the things about wrestling.
Huge
the
part.
Spectacle, the aura. And it's like, what makes it big? And he's got a major aura.
It was so hard to, like... He's such a good heel, and he kind of... Mm. It's like he can like fluidly.
He can do whatever.
Just be whatever he wants.
Which I love awesome. That he's in that spot now too, where it's the whole realism thing. It's like, yes, he can be a despicable heel. He's one of the greatest heels of all time.
Yeah, he is.
Absolutely. He could also be a cheered, beloved babyface. But now he can do whatever he wants. He can scummy, cheap shot a guy from behind or whatever. And then if he get like, when did it just happen? Was it the Rumble? Somewhere recently, he was in a match with a bunch of dudes. It was with Kevin Owens, where they were fighting guys, and he whipped him around to try to do an RKO, and Kevin shoved him and was like, what the hell? And he was like, I had to try.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
I remember that.
That stuff, it's like, he can do whatever he wants now, and everybody just is all in, man. Yeah. It's so good. So good.
He knows that, too, and what makes it even better.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. Everybody in the back needs to be in line trying to get time with him before
he's
his
so
matches
good to have back
to go,
there.
Please, I need to be under the learning tree for even 5 minutes a night. I have to be, you know.
He has to have been a big piece of a lot of these new guys. He's been there for so long that like he's helped so many people, I would imagine.
Who else is going to be in the Undertaker spot other than Orton? Who else could have it? It's only Orton.
Right, he carries that generation over.
And everybody looks at him like that. Yeah. He's the guy. And no one really talks about that. I kind of like just thought.
That's what I'm
saying.
That's my whole major
but
point.
He is like, the next Undertaker guy, where he is universally respected by absolutely everybody in the company.
Yep.
He's been a made man for like 18 years. Mm-hmm. He has one of the most legendary runs ever there with the Undertaker, literally at this point.
I was watching him, and I think it was like on Raw or wherever he last was on.
Oh, he was on the beginning of Backlash, too.
Maybe it was that.
First match of Backlash.
And I
was
just
incredible.
Like, was watching, and I'm thinking, like, he's been there for, like, all of these generations.
Yeah.
He's just carried, and he's been consistent throughout all of them. Yep. So, like, he's just a huge, like I'm saying, if you were to lose Randy Orton, that's a big loss, like, immediately.
Major, and bigger loss than I think people realize.
Yeah. People wouldn't notice it until
maybe they do realize. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It comes down to like you don't realize it until that person's gone.
They're gone.
And then
when Orton's gone, instant Hall of Fame, first battle Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And then it's just not. I don't know. I don't see it's. They're in such a good spot now. I don't think it'll hurt anything, but it's an irreplaceable. You know.
Yeah.
You're not going to. He's such a one in a billion guy.
Yeah.
One in a billion, man. I feel like when you talk about auras and you talk about how universally respected he is and how much of an aura he has, it's funny because it's like we're comparing him to The Undertaker. Undertaker's the only guy you can compare him to at this point. Wildly different gimmicks. But then you think about Undertaker, and it's like nobody has ever had an aura like Undertaker, not even Orton.
And the trajectory of their careers and who they've matches with.
I don't even mean that. I mean literally the aura. Like Undertaker.
As a character.
Gong hits.
Yeah.
Whole different mood. Second you see him, you go, that guy's image represents such a different level.
I read something about wanting to change Orton's theme, and it's like, don't do that.
Please never do that.
No.
Ever?
No.
Yeah,
don't
that's bonkers.
Yeah. Oh, and you know another thing I was thinking about as far as theme songs go.
Yeah.
That crowd was singing every theme song.
Oh my god.
They know the lyrics. I don't even know the lyrics to most of these.
Dude, and we were just watching some of it just like while we were getting stuff set up. We just had Backlash on for shits. And it was the main event, and they literally, Cody's theme gets pulled volume-wise, and they sing the entire last, like, chorus or whatever.
Just keep going.
They just don't stop. Yep.
And so I'm thinking, so I watch Kevin Owens come in.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have lyrics in his song.
Nope.
So it seemed like the crowd reaction wasn't there because of the contrast.
They're just cheering and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird
and element. Then Orton gets wicked crazy, wicked crazy ovation.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even know a lot of these lyrics. Like, what are we talking about here? Yeah. This is crazy.
A lot of times,
such a crazy like dedication that the audience has.
I've seen a lot of people talking about how, and I think Triple H commented on it. I'd have to look that up, but I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere that Triple H commented on it, like on Twitter or something, posted like, we hear you, we're looking into it or something like that. But the guys that have been doing everybody's themes, basically when Jim Johnson got fired, which was the biggest mistake ever in WWE history, it's like the number one guy ever they needed to never fire was the music guy.
Yeah.
They fired him and got some question mark guys in, and they just make everybody's theme sound the same for the most part.
Yeah.
And people are complaining about it bad, and it seems like WWE is getting ready to be like, we got to go a different direction. If they're smart, they get Jim Johnston back, and they go, here's a blank check. Write whatever number. We don't care how stupid it is. And he goes, $100 million. And they go, yeah, we have to have it. We have to have it. You're right, objectively the greatest wrestling theme guy ever by 1 billion miles. It's never going to be up for debate who's the best. It's Jim Johnston by 1 million miles. So you just pay him whatever he says and go, you can work from home. It's 2024. You don't need your office, home. You want to be around your family? Just work from home.
I think they need more. They need, like, guys need to get bands to write music.
See, but that's what, like, I say all that about Jim Johnston, but I'm willing to bet he's just retired and is like, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
He's had to have made so much money. And if he didn't, it's criminal because of how much he's done for the business, you know?
But it's cool when you get, like, Motorhead to go, here's a theme.
Yeah. They should. And people are doing that.
Yeah.
Like, Rhea Ripley had Motionless. Was it Motionless in White? No. Who the hell was it?
I don't know who that was.
Who cares? But it was a full band. It was some new band.
Veil Brides or some one of those.
Either way, they crushed it. It was cool the way they did that. Yeah, and that gives you the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
You could tell that the band that was doing hers and that did that at Mania, though, was like, we've played big crowds. We're fine. Relax.
Yeah.
They so obviously were just like, we're fine. We're locked in. We're going to crush this. And I feel like if the band hasn't been around enough and you put them in that spot, they will crumble.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is nothing like being in front of 80,000 people. And I don't say that from fucking experience. Not even close. I've never been near that. No way. No way, dude.
Yeah, to play. Yeah. Well, the thing is, you're not the focal point. Really.
No.
So that helps.
But that does
alleviate
it. You're the focal point for 5 seconds, and it's when just the music's there before the superstar comes out. Because while that 5 seconds is going on, if you fuck up,
well, yeah, that's true.
You're memed forever.
Yeah, that's true. Don't fuck up. But I think the other thing that's interesting is you had guys that had literally, like John Cena, who just wrote his own theme song.
I love that, too. Who was another hilarious wrote his own theme? So the first one that came to mind is R-Truth. Yeah. And his is one of the best ever. My favorite R-Truth theme, though, bar none, it's one of my favorite themes ever, just for the joke of it, is when he was doing that Little Jimmy stuff back in the day, like when he first said he was a heel somehow. And his music was just him saying, "The truth shall set you free." And then silence. He just had no music and just walked out to silence. And the commentators were like, all right, he just has no music.
It's so good.
It was so genius. He's never done it again. Why would he? But no, but I agree with you to have bands doing it. And some guys, and there's like, well, it's Downstate, dude. Downstate is the band.
Yeah, that's true.
They've done so many guys' themes that are the themes that people love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what are you doing? Just offer these guys a sick contract to be the house band. They're good.
I'm wondering, too, if they'll change the way Titantron videos work.
I mean, look what they're doing with the Raws and SmackDowns now, because they're so big and they're selling so hard. They're like, we have to cut down on the stage size for entrances to make room for new sections of crowds that have haven't been there in decades.
But they don't need the stage to be that big.
No,
like,
they don't.
Like,
they don't.
It worked so well when you just had the Titantron.
That's right.
You had, like, their videos used to be highlight videos. They weren't. Yeah. They weren't.
They were
like
hilarious.
A fucking animation package or whatever.
Val Venus.
Yeah,
that's one of the funniest of all time. It's just, dude.
It was
no
so
mercy.
Much more like in your face and like. Yeah. It was very like I'm picturing like RVD.
Oh yeah.
Theme song or like, you know, that kind of shit where it's flashing and fucking or like DX. Mm-hmm. That shit was like hard to even track. Because
so
DX
good.
Was fucking, it's
so
overlaying real time and then also the video. It's like, like basically you're getting, it's probably because people had seizures or some shit. But
I wouldn't be surprised. So on the theme song thing though, I was saying just get a band like Downstate or something. That's the wrong move. The right move is to get a new Jim Johnston guy. Because what Jim Johnston did specifically, he didn't write and record and produce absolutely everything. He would have come up with the original themes and some lyrics and like melodic ideas. And then they would have, he would just have them get recorded by other people in different styles. He might oversee the production and be the final say. I don't know how much he did in that regard. But like, good example is... like RVD's theme song, right? I'm sure he wrote that initial chord progression and was like, yeah, this is cool, came up with it. But then they just had some random rock guys come into the studio and track the parts he wrote. So yeah. It sounds like just RVD's theme. Then the next guy has a theme. It's written by Jim Johnston still, but completely different. Other random guys come in and record it with different sounding amps, different sounding drums, different sounding everything in a different style. And now it sounds like just that guy. The problem they're having right now is that every single guy's theme is written by one band that's then recording everything with the exact same guitar tone, the exact same drums, and it just all sounds the same.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It is.
Because, like, I mean, you recognize them, but you don't. It doesn't have the impact that it used to have.
For sure.
I don't know. And even like some of the intro stuff, like you don't see like Jericho's Countdown or like I don't know.
Some stuff does though. Like there, you can tell they're starting to go in that direction again. Like look at Jade Cargill. She has like cool intro stuff to hers with like her entrance is one of the coolest entrances in WWE now. It's wicked cool where they have like that smoke screen with light and all the like storm clouds and stuff.
Yeah.
And then just you see like the upshot silhouette of her just being jacked. Like she looks like a fucking superhero.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Well, yeah. She also just looks like that anyway.
Well, she does. Yeah. She just looks like a superhero. But you're dead on though that like they can have, there's room for a little bit more production with the entrances without going too crazy.
And it's going to be, you win both ways because you're going to have the smaller stage. You're going to allow for you to have more seats and that makes more money.
Yeah. 100%.
I think some of the fucking like the animate, like the literal 3D animations that are overlaid on the screen.
Oh, you mean the Roman Reigns fucking, like that's one of my favorite things ever.
It's just like,
so funny.
What
dude.
Is going on with this?
It's the like AR stuff, augmented reality, N64 graphics Reigns.
It's so why? It's just so.
I love it.
Why is it happening?
I love it. You know why it's happening? Specifically to make us geek. That's
maybe,
it.
Maybe. And I think maybe they were just like, oh, check that out. That's like a new thing. And then now it's not like a new thing, though. It doesn't look good now.
And everybody's going, why? except for me and like our friends.
Yeah, we're just going,
like, that's so funny. Yep. I feel like Becky Lynch had one of those for a while that was like with sunglasses or something, right?
That sounds right. Yeah. Somebody had that. Mm-hmm. Was it Sasha Banks, maybe?
I don't know. She hasn't been around a while, so it's hard to say. I can't remember how long they've been doing that AR stuff. I remember the first time I saw AR stuff in wrestling, and it's one of the worst things I've ever seen. And it was Bray Wyatt versus, was it Orton? But it was just Bray Wyatt was the perfect guy ever to take the helm from Taker as like the I'm going to say it, the boogeyman of WWE, but the actual boogeyman, not the shitty character boogeyman.
Yeah, he was definitely like closer to the act.
Boogeyman was funny.
Yeah, but he was a comic act. It wasn't a...
Yeah, I just mean that in the shadows, says nothing, appears and scares the shit out of everybody, supernatural gimmick with a twist on it. And instead, for years, they were like, you know, it'll be wicked scary. Let's do a bunch of shitty... We'll cut all the lights, and we'll make them have a four-minute match against somebody where they're trying to dodge projections coming from the ceiling down onto the ring mat of, like, scorpions. Cheesy. So you're like, why?
I do remember that.
Yeah, that's the stupidest match I've ever seen. That's my most disliked match of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're taking guys during that COVID, they did a lot of weird
shit. There was a lot of weird shit during COVID.
I think that was in front of a live crowd.
The graveyard match was that actually was incredible. Fucking cool.
Yeah, that's different.
I enjoyed that.
Yep. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you're in an arena with a live audience and you still try to do weird projector stuff. Just don't. Just don't.
So dumb.
Just let them have a match in front of a crowd. It's only ever
worked. Really is a shame, like, the whole Bray Wyatt, like, the way that it...
He's the greatest what if ever for me. Yeah, greatest what if ever.
It was like, I was really feeling strongly about... When he had his match with Undertaker at Mania, that, like,
that should have been the one.
A big turning point right there.
Should have been the guy. Yeah. Should have been the guy, and he should have been made right there. And you should have had him beat Taker.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Have Taker do that to him, dude. Yep. Oh, my God. Make him. He's made right there.
Oh, that, yeah.
How good would that have been? They couldn't pull the trigger.
I don't think anybody would have protested that.
No.
Because Vince
is the guy that went, no, I don't care.
Yeah. The big thing, too, was because I just watched, I had never seen it before. I don't know how old it is. The Last Ride, The Undertaker.
That's one of the best documentaries in wrestling.
And it really is like, you watch it and you're just going, okay, like, his thought process is just like, I want to do it again every year because he doesn't feel like he had the best performance.
He just keeps waiting, trying to have that one.
That's why I felt like maybe
Wyatt was should have
continued the streak, maybe because he knew he wanted to come back or I don't know. It was
they kept asking him back though. That's another problem. Well, he said a few times, like he'd go home and he'd be like, I just had this wicked crazy match with Triple H and Shawn in the cell, and I get home and I get a call from Vince and I think I'm off the hook for a year, and I get that call. Hey, Bill, we got something for you. You down? And it's like, all right, I'll train for 9 months again to have one match because that's how much I have to do it now to get in the ring.
Yeah, and then he had the match with Roman, and he felt like that wasn't very good. It really wasn't. But.
After the end of an era match that I was just talking about there with Shawn and Hunter, didn't he have a match with Punk? And that was like the last of that great run. It was like he had the Batista match, back-to-back Shawn Michaels, back-to-back Triple H, Punk. And that was like the last, oh my God, run of Mania matches from Taker.
He could have been done after Triple H. Could have
been done. Really. Yeah. That's what
because
I thought.
Because that could have concluded pretty well.
Man, that would have been
you had
one
the Shawn
the
Michaels thing, and then you have Triple H coming in for Shawn.
4 years of storytelling culminating in that
would have made a lot of sense, too. But he, you know, he felt like he could still do it, is really what it came down to. And that's what the whole documentary is really about that.
Yeah.
It really is all about him wanting to keep coming back, him, like, with the Roman match, not liking it, wanting to come back again. He wants the send off, but he also feels like he's in shape to keep coming back.
And how do you blame
him? And it's only once a year. So
yeah, how do you blame him, man? He's like, I'll deal with this for the whole year to get to feel that again.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's what he was saying it was like. It's like, okay, I do this match. It's going to take about 45 minutes, like not in ring, but including everything. Once I'm at the arena and it's like about to be time, I got to get in my gear. I got to stretch and warm up for like a half hour and stuff. Go out, wrestle a match. It's probably going to be 20 to 30 minutes.
He had one that was real short, though.
He did. He did.
Would have been Cena or somebody like that.
It was. Yeah, the Cena one was very short. But he's prepping for this hour of his life that is going to take a lot more from him than just that hour because of his age, his miles, and he's going, okay. And he says in the documentary that, like, the fourth to last one, his wife, Michelle, is going, how many more? Like, what are we doing here? Because he's going home to his kids and his wife, and he's going, well, Papa can't walk for the next 3 months. Or if he's walking, I have a cane or I'm limping and I just some shit. I can't pick you up. Can't do shit. You know?
And, like, he also, he doesn't really have anything to prove. he's proving it to himself more than anything.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he hasn't had anything to prove since like 2001.
Yeah, so there's no reason. People want him to come back, sure. Yeah. But he has no reason to do it. Like, his only reason to do it is his own personal drive.
Yeah, it's just a sad.
Being like, I think I can still do that.
Like, he just wanted to feel like he had that one. He saw how Sean went out with the second match with him, and he was like, man, if I could just have that.
But you can't, you the longer you wait, the less your chance is going to be sometimes. Yeah. You know?
Which is why it's so cool he had that Boneyard match or whatever they called it.
Yeah.
Because that was just, well, that made perfect sense,
because they could shoot that like a movie, you know, and it was during COVID, and so you had like all these, you got fucking the Thunderdome and all this weird
and
shit.
And he was
COVID,
saying, he says in the documentary too that he was like, the shape I was in for Styles, because I thought we were going to be in front of 60, 70,000, and it was going to be the last, the real last one. I had the hips done. I felt incredible. I got in the crazy shape I'd been in since like the Michaels and Triple H matches, and I was about to go that level one more time in front of a live crowd with AJ, who he considers to be one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. That's Taker saying that, not me.
He's not. Yeah. He's
and like, I don't think he's wrong, but that's what he's saying. It's like, I'm about to get that moment. Like, I'm looking at the match with Michaels when he returned going, man, I hope I get one of those someday. And then he's looking at AJ going, oh my God, I'm going to get mine. And he did.
Yeah.
But he just didn't get it how he thought. Yeah.
You want to do it in front of a crowd.
You want to do it in front of a crowd. But the way he ended up, the way it went was the best it could have gone. It was so cool.
It was. 100%. It was great. I'm going to watch that again, actually.
Yeah. I've watched it a few times since.
Which mania is that?
36. 36. 2020 mania. It would be 36, right? Because 40 was 2024. That's the one that just happened. So if you go back 4 years to 2020, it was right when the pandemic, it was like right when the pandemic started.
Hot, like it was right in the dead center, bad. So that was when everything was like they couldn't do any shows at all.
No.
They did shows, but they had to do like the screens. That's what the Thunderdome was.
It was
but
so weird.
Those fucking things were weird because I didn't understand how they worked. Did like someone, were you in the like a Discord or some weird shit? Like, were you in a chat?
There was a.
It didn't seem like they were reacting in real time.
I never did it, but I saw ads for it.
There's like a way to apply to it or something.
You would get into a queue, and you would have your stream. You'd get into a queue. And you'd wait to get rotated into one of the monitors. And they would just always be changing.
Yeah,
which
like,
I love.
They would camera cut and come back. Because
there would be times where people were like, I'm in the queue. And then instead of having their camera, it would just be a picture of Chris Benoit's face and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It happened all
people
the time.
People would sneak signs up and shit.
Yeah. And they would go, cut his feet now, cut his feet.
So unhinged.
Of course, of course.
But that's thought that like that would have to fucking happen?
Ugh, I know.
So weird.
Weird time. But it's so crazy to see where it's at now on the flip side of that, you know?
Whatever WrestleMania it was, it might have been the one before that. 35? No, actually, no. This would have been the one where Rollins cashed in.
32 or 3?
Sounds 32 sounds right.
32 sounds right, yeah. It was the main event was Lesnar versus Roman.
I didn't realize, like, at the time, how good that WrestleMania was.
Oh, it's one of the best, yeah. Such a good mania. And that's one of the coolest endings of all time.
I was hammered, I think, was probably the problem. Because I remember watching it at my buddy Dan's house. And it's like, we were definitely drinking because that was like, That was like around the time where we'd always go to the bars and shit.
Sure.
But we also were like fucking manias on this weekend. We gotta watch it. And then, you know, it's like we barely remember it. But I very clearly remember Rollins.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like one of the greatest cash-ins ever.
That was the big...
That shot in the arena of everybody, that's a huge arena, and he's at the top of the ramp like, with the title and shit over his head.
Or maybe we watched that house somewhere. I can't remember. I know I watched it with like a decent group of people, and it was like, it was fucking wild at the time. But when you look back at it now, I think that was one of the better manias.
Wasn't like, that recently. The same mania where the Hardy Boys returned and won the tag team titles?
That sounds right, too.
And it was wicked crazy.
That would be around the same time, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It was an outdoor stadium again. Yes.
Yeah, it had to be. And the New Day came out dressed as, like, Final Fantasy Red Mages and stuff.
I remember the stage very clearly with the play button and all that.
Oh, yeah. That I don't know if that was the one, though, with the Hardys, but it's in that same time frame for sure.
Yeah, the Hardy one for some reason feels recent to me, but it wasn't.
No, yeah. It feels recent, but it was like 8 years ago or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
God dude, damn. AEW started 5 years ago. It feels like it was two. It was five. Yeah, it feels like it just happened five years ago, dude. Yeah. It's crazy.
God. Yeah, it's fucking, I don't like that.
Time flies, man. Time flies. It's why it's so important to soak it in right now while it's so good, for sure.
Yeah.
It's very, I try very hard in my life to like appreciate the things I have and pay attention to what's around me, the people around me, the shit I'm doing, the stuff going on in the world that is like the magical moments, you know? I try so hard to lock in on that stuff because it's fleeting. It comes and it goes, and then later you're going, man, I wish I could have that back for one day. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But it's like
you get them. It's just different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, part of it is people work a lot. So.
Yeah. Same.
So you're spending like a lot of time where you can't really do that.
Because when we were
kids,
you're not
going to soak
like,
in the fucking your work day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. When we were kids,
no one
so
looks
much
back
easier.
And remembers a work day either. You know
no, never.
Like,
never. The only work days I remember are the wicked fucked up ones where crazy shit happened. Some dude walked into the place butt naked or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But just mundane, like, I'm at work again. No, never.
No,
never,
it doesn't
ever.
Register and it shouldn't.
No, it shouldn't register, yeah. Nobody's going to ever be remembered for, oh, he was, like me, like I'm in IT, right? I'm not going to look back on my life when I'm on my deathbed and go, man, I really loved all the time I spent sitting at the office doing stupid ticket
fixing
shit.
That guy's
like, nope.
Speaker.
Input. I'm gonna think about like just all the cool shit I ever did, you know, like only.
Yep, and it's like that's why it's weird because like my timeline for wrestling is like very up and down because I jumped back in at weird times and it wasn't consistently across the board watching it. So, like, I register certain parts of my life with the things that were going on in wrestling at the time.
Yes.
So, like, it's kind of odd the way they connect. Mm-hmm. But, man, it's like you go back to some of those manias and, like, you didn't really – you don't realize it until later on. But, like, now that some of these guys are stars and as big as they are
– you go back and watch. Yeah, but when it was – they were on the cusp.
Yeah.
Right? But now you go back and watch, you're like, holy shit, that's super historic.
Right. Like, because it's what made it the storyline now. It's just like with anything, though. Like, if I go back and watch Dragon Ball Z and I watch, like, fucking Gohan blow Cell away, it's like I see what Gohan's potential was. You go back and you see, like, where these people were, like, you know, their big moments.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It's just like the lore with anything.
It's lore. That's what it is, though. It's lore. It's why Cody's story is so powerful. It's why the stuff with Roman and the Shield is so powerful. It's why that all is glued together.
Yeah. It's why you're compelled to keep watching it, too.
It's why it's the only criticism about AEW that has footing that is universally... It must happen. They just need to develop lore. And I'll say this.
But it doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen overnight. And you can see that there are things they're doing where they are trying to build lore. There's lore they have. Like, there's things they've told stories. Sure. Not that they've never told stories. That's the thing I don't like either, is people will say AEW never tells stories. It's like, dude, what they're doing right now with the Elite and with Kenny Omega is nasty. That's the best stuff going on in AEW right now.
You can't have any success at all if you're not telling story. I mean,
storytelling is the unfortunate most important. It's not unfortunate, but for the fans that want so badly for it to just get allowed somehow, for the stories to not matter, just mm-hmm. so they can be like, I was right and all that mattered was matches.
Yeah.
They're never going to be right because the stories just do matter.
Here's the thing, too.
They add weight to everything.
You don't want like things like so Impact Wrestling mm-hmm. had a lot of storylines, but they were based around guys that had come from WWE or from somewhere else, and they wanted to like work with that a little bit. Because it was always in the back of your head anyway, so they figured we'll play with it.
Yeah, why not just play it up?
But it doesn't have the same impact because you're not... I say impact, but it doesn't work that way. Like, I feel like there's, you know, it comes down to writing, too.
You just have to have guys that know wrestling and know... Because it doesn't have to be ridiculous storytelling that is... You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to have guys shooting fireballs or blowing cars up.
No, but you got to know how to... You have to know how to string things together. If this happens in the ring, you can run with that. Or like, say, like, hey, we can take this angle. They don't necessarily... I feel like a lot of these fucking... Like, Impact probably went... Here's 17 paragraphs of what's going to happen in the next 6 months. And they stuck right with it. But that's not necessarily the best way to go with it. Yeah. You want to sometimes sway with the audience. And I mean, look at what we just got.
AEW will do a good job of having storytelling in matches in the way where they'll have reoccurring moments that they allude back to in a later match. So say you have a trilogy between three guys, and in the first match you have a guy, say it's Kenny Omega and Daniel Bryan or something. I'm just spitballing, this is not accurate stuff. But say you have two guys that are top guys, right? And they have a trilogy. And in the first, and you have them 3 years apart, so there's tons of time for these guys to have moments on the mic, these guys to jump each other or fuck each other over in matches and build tension and heat between each other over a whole year to blow off steam at the big pay-per-view where everybody's been anticipating seeing these two guys finally ring the bell for ages. And then you get it, right? And then that match ends with some sequence where Kenny goes to do the one-way get Angel, and it gets reversed into the fucking crossface thing that Daniel Bryan does, and he taps him, right? So now you use that in the second match, and you have Kenny go to do the one-way get Angel, and Bryan goes to reverse it and do whatever, and Kenny reverses that and anticipates it and does something off of that. That goes in another direction, and they alluded to it. And then in the third one, you have Kenny hit the one-way get Angel and win. Like, that's super basic stuff.
It's in-ring storytelling.
It's in-ring storytelling. That is one thing. It's reoccurring themes in music in the ring instead. That stuff's great.
WWE needs more in-ring storytelling.
I agree.
I think they do. And well, I think...
Sometimes, they had a lot of it with the Bloodline stuff.
Sure. Yeah. But I think, like, the undercard type of stuff needs more of that.
I think it's getting there now. Mm-hmm. I think it's getting there.
They're starting to work on it. You can tell they are.
Yeah.
But I know that AEW seems to be more of that.
They seem to be more of that and less of the out-of-the-ring stuff.
Yes.
But the out-of-the-ring stuff is so important, too. And I will say to him blue in the face that there's things about AEW that I don't like. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think it's perfect. It's also only 5 years old. And so there's a massive head start on the other side. Mm-hmm. However, I'm also not just some OD hard leaner on either side. I don't give a fuck. So I'll say when they're doing shit that's shitty, but I'll also say when they're doing shit that's good. And right now, the stuff they're doing with the Elite and Kenny is the most compelling stuff I've seen from them in a long time.
Right.
Kenny's one of the few guys, for me anyways, that is in AEW that I look at and go, he's got all-timer aura.
He can carry that.
He's a company carrier. Yeah. And he's one of the guys that He's probably my number one guy ever. That if he never comes to WWE, it'll be my biggest what if of all time. Mm-hmm. Is a man, I wish we got that guy. Having said that, you know, if he never does, it is what it is. I just hope that if he doesn't, it's not because of health, and it's because he's just doing such good stuff in AEW.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. You can watch him in AEW.
Yeah, yeah. So,
it's not like you're missing out on a lot. No. Like, you are missing out on the big rivalries, feuds, and things like that you want to see, but you're like, not missing out on his storytelling.
My favorite thing AEW did storytelling-wise up to this point for me was, again, with Kenny, when he was the belt collector, and they told the story of the Elite having him and Hangman, and then Hangman was ejected, and he couldn't get his stuff together. He couldn't win the big one, and they told this, like, two-year story at the beginning of AEW, where, like, he wrestled Jericho in the first match for the AEW World title, the inaugural title, and Jericho beat him, and then Ambrose came out, Moxley, whatever, and that was sick, dude. Then they kept telling that story over 2 years of Hangman getting so close and getting, he just couldn't get the big one. And then all the tie-in with the Elite stuff and reoccurring stuff in the ring to have it pay off with Kenny finally dropping it to Hangman when he beat Kenny and won the AEW World title. And that, like, finished that 2 year story. Up to that point, that was like the best story going on in wrestling at the time there. It was like right before stuff started to shift in WWE.
That's how you build guys, you know, have them lose a lot. You know,
and they didn't, Daniel Bryan, they didn't have to do anything wicked crazy. There just had to be any storytelling, though.
Well, you know, look at Daniel Bryan's run. It's like, it was really based the same way, where he couldn't get to it.
Yeah.
It was, he was suppressed by something.
Yeah, very similar.
And then, you know, but, and he's another guy who's over there now.
Yep. But, and now he's one of the best things happening there, too. And he is what they wish everybody could be over there, which is these super legendary legacy guys who don't need story, because the story is literally, I'm in the last run of my career. I am talked about as one of the greatest in-ring workers that's ever lived. And my retirement plans, because I have to stop doing this soon for my family, is to try to just have the best matches of all time, the craziest run of the best matches of all time, with all the best guys we can get here. And so he's having all these matches with frickin' Okada and Omega and Osprey and everybody.
It's a great move for him because, like, he's already reached that peak. They're not going to be able to do what they did with him again.
No.
You know?
And what they're doing with him right now, I think, is the right move. And eventually he's going to retire and people are going to look back and go, that was also one of the greatest guys of all time. Mm-hmm. And he's the exception to the rule right now, where, like, a lot of guys are just want to also just have legacy matches, but there's no fucking legacy.
Yeah.
He has legacy, and he's working the other guys with legacies, and so the matches are on for that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I feel like Kenny's another guy who could have a run like that when he decides to call it, and you'll go, yep, makes sense.
Yep.
But I feel yeah.
Well, the reality is they have a lot of talent. That's not,
they have some of the best talent.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, my God.
Yes, they do. They just, and my whole point of this whole thing with AEW is just, to me, as somebody who's not following AEW as much as WWE, simply only because I just follow whatever's compelling, and the stuff in AEW hasn't been as compelling to me personally, haven't been following it as much. I still follow everything on social media,
right?
But I just haven't been going out of my way to watch every single taping of everything, you know what I mean? Now they're finally doing stuff again that I'm seeing come into my view that's making me go, I gotta go back and watch that.
Yeah.
And that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. I want that. I want them to do well.
I think the biggest, I need to rethink how I watch wrestling right now, because I'm watching Raw live and it's so long. And
it's too long.
It's a Monday night. Yeah. So I have to work at 4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So if I stay up to watch this whole thing, it's going to be 11 o'clock before I even get under the
coffee. That's such an important thing to talk about, too, because this has been one of my favorite years of watching wrestling ever, I started watching it like 2 years ago every week with a group of people, and we watched right at the tail end of Vince getting out of the company, and then this past year with Triple H like fixing things.
Yeah.
And now the new era begins truly, right?
Yeah.
And it's been incredible to see, but part of the reason it's been so good for us is because we don't watch it live.
Yeah.
We wait until Tuesday and we watch the prior SmackDown and the previous night's Raw, the shorter versions on Hulu. I'm telling you, man.
That's right.
That is the way.
I feel like if I did that, I could also slide a like Dynamite in or something.
Probably. Probably.
You know,
I wish that Dynamite. I wish AEW did the same thing. Now, well, they don't run five hours.
So
but.
I have YouTube TV. So when I do watch, it's I can watch it right after it happens.
Oh, and you can watch it on YouTube TV.
Just
and
skip through all the commercials.
See, that's a good idea.
So I could watch Dynamite also if I was able to slip that in. It's just hard for me to like know Raw is on and not watch it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a Monday night. I'm not fucking doing anything.
Especially because right now, WWE is so hot.
And I want to see what's happening.
You just have to know what's going on, yeah.
Because, and especially because, like, I'm going to open Instagram at 4 in the morning. The
and you're
going to
get it all spoiled.
And it's just going to blast me in the face with...
I don't mind. If I miss Raw, and because I missed it on the day, I get a bunch of stuff spoiled for me, I don't care. It don't matter. It don't matter. I'm still going to watch the matches and watch for myself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They are the worst at spoiling things I've ever found, though. I mean, the second the match ends, they're like, this is the guy
that
won, here's the movie dead.
Instantly, it's on there.
All right.
Well, yeah, they're not even just there. Their official accounts will do it.
No, it's WWE. The account will go, these are all the guys winning seconds after they won.
Yep, here are the results.
Oh, it's I got my bad, I missed the match.
It's just like
but at the same time,
now,
it's scripted.
That's how it is now, though, with anything. Yeah. I mean, you can't watch. Yep. I can't, if the Packers are playing on a Sunday, I have to watch it. I can't like the next morning watch it or whatever.
It used to be a thing before internet, though. People would tape stuff, watch it days later.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck now.
Well, even if I don't, like, someone might say something about it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Especially with football, someone's
going to work
fucking
and someone's
go,
like, oh, you see the Eagles
them?
Get smoked?
How
it's
about
like,
the Packers?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Or in your case, it's not the Eagles, but yeah.
Right. Well, that's, you know, it's like, it's just, you can't do it now. Social media is so fast.
It's
immediate.
Instant, yeah.
Someone's posting it, and it's getting fucking
and it's already
uploaded.
Sent to you by 10 guys.
Yeah.
And you're like, can you not do that?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
I don't know. Well, so what? We did like an hour here.
Yeah.
We did almost an hour and a quarter.
I like the, I like how we've been doing... kind of grab bag shit, just kind of talking about whatever. That's cool.
We haven't like necessarily had structure to this, but like that's fine.
It's just it's intended to be conversational.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be us just shooting the shit about wrestling with each other, and we'll talk about current stuff. Like we talked about Backlash a bit.
Yep,
and we're going to continue to do that if there's stuff that and if there's stuff we miss, and people listen and they're like, ah, you guys didn't talk about this. You should talk about this next week or whatever.
Backlash was just hard to describe because you just like you were
the crowd.
I was so entrenched in just the spectacle of the event.
Yep.
Versus, like, it was hard to even focus on the matches because I'm so like locked in on what this crowd is doing.
Oh, I focused on the matches. The matches were incredible.
I mean, I was like,
all the matches were great.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I mean, especially I'll watch it. I'm going to watch it again.
AJ and Cody was ridiculous. That was so good. If you haven't watched for some reason, if there's only one match on the card you watch,
well, how could
watch
that. How could it not be, though?
I know. It's just cool to see because it's like this was the first defense of Cody's run.
You stick AJ in
and
there.
It's everything. It's like, who's it going to be against? How's it going to go? Is this dude the real deal? He is, and he proved it.
Yeah.
And that match was incredible.
You needed that.
And it instantly set the pace for this run he's about to go on is going to be gnarly, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what way that goes, the Cody thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't wait for the Bloodline, obviously.
I can't wait for Roman to come. That's going to be one of the biggest pops in a long time.
Where do you even, like, when you do SummerSlam or, like, what
you
do
got
you
it. It's got to be somewhere in an 80,000-seater arena like that because the pop is just, you know.
It's going to be wild.
I think it probably, that's a good point. SummerSlam's probably where it'll
sounds
go down.
Sounds like a good mark.
It'll
for
be
it.
Bloodline, something Bloodline going on, and Roman will come out. Oh, yeah. Dude, that's money.
Even a 6 month build is better than people don't want to wait for a year for that. They know I think everybody's already locked in on what's going to happen here.
You could. Rock is saying he wants to come back. Like, he's like, I'll be back around. And when I am, I'm coming back for you to Cody.
Maybe it depends on that.
You have Rock versus Cody at Mania night one. You have Roman come back for the first time in a year to interfere, to screw Rock, to set up for Rock Roman.
Could do that.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. But I don't know they're going to go that way. It seems more likely they're going to go with this Bloodline Civil War thing that they're teasing.
Well, do that at SummerSlam. It's gonna be sick. Do that at SummerSlam, yeah. And then you have time for The Rock to come back.
Yep. Yeah. For sure.
We're not bookers, though.
So. No. Just longtime fans.
That would be a cool job, though.
I don't know if it would. I think it'd be a lot of stress.
It would be constant.
It'd be fun to be guys that are in the room. Guys that are in the room pitching ideas, just, hey, what about this? What about this? Yeah. And have good ideas and have shitty ideas. And then have another guy like a Triple H be sitting there going, that's a good
idea.
What was that again? That's good. Okay, we're going to go with this total thing that I'm going to make the call on and put all together. Thanks, everybody. This is how it goes. Yeah. That's the move. Yeah. I'd love to be in that spot. That'd be so sick. Just being a guy in the room, one of the idea team. It'd be so sick.
I just want to be the fly on the wall to see in the
I'd also like to just be a fly on the wall.
Because then you go, that would be cool, but like it's not going to happen.
If by some fake pipe dream scenario, somehow, some way, I ever end up working for WWE in any capacity where I'm part of that committee or some shit, the other thing I'm immediately hunting, day one at work, I go, where's Xavier Woods? I walk right up to him and I go, I have to be involved in Up, Up, Down, Down. That's my highest priority. Yeah. I have to be involved. I play whatever game you want. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Yeah.
I know. That was huge for him.
Oh.
And the New Day.
Changed his life. And New Day, yeah. And Xavier, not Xavier, yeah, of course Kofi. Xavier Woods. Breeze, Tyler Breeze.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's like mostly all he does, though. I think he does some stuff behind the scenes, but
he does.
He
works with the Performance Center.
Oh, cool.
That's what I've heard of.
He's amazing, dude.
He was great, man.
He's another one of those, like, why?
I know.
Why?
He was, like, my top fan. I was, like, watching NXT glued to that. I wanted him to fucking.
That era, that first big era of NXT, though, when it was
Neville,
like Sami Zayn, Neville, yeah. Tyler Breeze, even when Nakamura and Finn Balor were there, like, that was just. You could so feel.
Dallas?
This is the future. This is the future. Might be seeing more of him soon.
Bo Dallas was fucking incredible.
Might be seeing more of Bo soon.
Bo works at the Performance Center. I know that.
Sure. It's looking like he's about to do the Uncle Howdy thing.
That's
what it's looking like.
It's definitely coming.
It's got, what else? What else is it, you know?
That's going to be fun.
I hope so, man.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we'll do this all day, but we're going to save this for the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to do it all day.
Oh, yeah, man. Always good.
Yep. It's been fun.
Always good, man.
We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Adios.